Dr. Rabin, welcome.
Thank you.
Why was Eastern North Carolina chosen as the place to try to restore the red wolf?
Eastern North Carolina offered a great habitat, a lot of prey species. It had a fairly small or human population, and there weren't any coyotes at the time, and that was a big part of why that effort was made in Eastern North Carolina.
We'll talk more about coyotes in a moment. But on the shootings, I understand that 9 red wolves have been shot and killed in eastern North Carolina this year, 5 of them just since October. Even though it is illegal to do so, what is the motive for shooting these animals?
I think a lot of times it could be mistaken identity because the way coyotes are treated within the state, they are a huntable species. You see a large canid, you think it might be a large coyote.
How much alike or different do a red wolf and a coyote look from, say, 100 feet away?
They're going to look very similar. They have the same coloration. You know, they're both canids. They're both dog animals. Weight-wise, a red wolf is going to be larger than a coyote any day. In general, coyotes range about 25 to 35 pounds. Red wolves will range around 60 to 65 pounds.
Man-made threats to the red wolf population are not the only threats. For instance, breeding between red wolves and coyotes, or hybridization as it's called, is also a problem. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And why is that a problem?
Well, canids are an interesting group of animals. They can interbreed and produce fertile offspring, but in normal situations, there's always physical barriers or behavioral barriers that kind of isolate those two different species from breeding. They may breed along the lines where they come into contact with one another, but typically that's not an issue when you have large healthy populations. In this particular case, you have a growing coyote population, which has moved eastward throughout the United States, and you have a very small red wolf population. So for them to hybridize, it has the potential to swamp genetically the red wolf species. So we're taking efforts to try to limit hybridization opportunities within the wild red wolf population.
And how, pray tell, do you prevent the interbreeding of coyotes and red wolves?
We've been using a technique for since about 2000, where we actually sterilize coyotes and use them as placeholders. We do like tubal ligations or vasectomies on a coyote. Mm-hmm. It leaves their hormones intact, so they maintain, they act just as if they are fertile, but they don't reproduce. That helps us, one, by it doesn't allow the increase in the coyote population. But it also prevents any potential for hybridization if a red wolf and a coyote tend to form a pair bond and form a pack, essentially. We use those coyotes to put them in place to hold territories until a wolf can come in and take over that territory is another reason that we do it. They will keep other coyotes out, so they'll keep other coyotes from reproducing.
Dr. Rabin, why is it important to save the red wolf as a species?
I think there are a number of reasons. Of course, there's the biological, the healthy ecosystem, biodiversity, maintaining and increasing biodiversity. There's also probably an aesthetic. People like the idea of having the full complement of species on the landscape. There's possibly the ethical, where we actually destroyed many of the large predators, and now it's our responsibility to bring them back. We did so under less than educated terms, maybe, and now we have a better understanding.
Dr. Rabin, thank you very much for talking with us about this program.
Thank you for having me.